So, let's talk about crowbars.
Okay.
What is a crowbar if not a metal club? Live from the Mundangerous Jail Cell in New York City, I'm your host Shane.
And I'm your host Ishan.
And welcome to Actual Play Episode 6 of Total Party Thrill, a podcast for game masters and players where we discuss our campaigns in order to inspire yours.
In this episode, we're continuing our playthrough of the 5th edition adventure, Sunless Citadel.
Eberron is a sorrowful place, where the 5 great nations on the continents of Corvair fought a 100-year war for the throne of Galafar, and only recently settled for peace after a mysterious magical calamity called the Day of Mourning. Eberron is a wondrous place where magic is studied and industrialized, and living constructs called Warforged rub shoulders with elves, dwarves, and changelings on elementally powered airships and lightning trains. Eberron is a mysterious place where powerful magical tattoos called dragon marks shape the fate of their bearers, and the secrets of ancient empires and evils lie buried just below the surface. Of course, dear listener, you don't need to know any of that to follow the adventures of our hero, Tez Proudgale. He's just a rogue archaeology student unearthing secrets in the hinterlands of southern Breland, close to the borders of the gnome nation Zilargo and the goblin nation Dargoon. Though if you do want to learn more about Eberron, check out Total Party Thrill Episode 33 for our full overview of the Eberron campaign setting.
Tez Proudgale is deep into goblin territory, and he's just stumbled upon, captives, some kobolds, and oddly, a gnome.
I immediately put my finger to my lips.
All right, all of them see that. They're at first, like, they tense up and they're frightened when the door opens. When they see it's you, they, like, visibly relaxing. The gnome gets a little excited and sort of, like, grabs the bars of the cage and, like, puts his face right up to it. And then when the kobolds see Meepo, they relax and they get not excited, but there seems like there's a glint of hope in their eyes.
I whisper to them first, are you hurt?
They sort of look around and they all nod, and then the gnome also nods. But the gnome then points at the door and, like, makes a motion to, like, close the door.
I will pull the door closed behind us.
The gnome whispers,
what have you done with the jailers?
They're 2 of them are knocked out. 2 of them are tied up and knocked out. 1 of them's dead.
The gnome nods grimly, and then you can see he has a holy symbol. Are you trained in religion?
I am not trained in religion. Just lucky, I guess.
You can tell it's a holy symbol of one of the sovereign hosts, but, you know, you don't really pay attention to, like, which one. You know?
Right. Yeah, I see Orlana or I see nothing.
Right.
No, it's not Orlana. Aladra. Right?
Aladra. Right.
Yeah.
Aladra.
Right. I see Orlana or I see nothing.
He, like, whispers what seems to you like just a short prayer for the dead. I mean, very short. It's almost perfunctory. But then he says, then I think we will be able to, speak freely. They only come in here to taunt us, and the goblins from further in only arrive perhaps every few days to question us.
Well, I'm looking for the dragon.
Huh. Why?
Well, it's complicated. I'm on a rescue mission. I'm also a rogue archaeologist from Moorgrave University. I'm trying to, you know, like, learn things about what's going on down here, uncover the cult of Ashardalon. Also, I've got to find these kids who are adult kids for this lady in town, and there's a reward at the end of it. Also, I think there's some guy with a frog somewhere around here that probably needs to be brought to some justice. It's all... Anyway, the queen asked me to do it, so I'm doing it because I need her help.
So at mention of the dragon and the queen and things like that, the kobolds sort of like visibly seem relieved. And they sort of chatter excitedly. Like, yes, we will return to the queen and she'll be so happy to see us.
Can I trust you to return straight there and not make any diversion on the way?
At first, they're like scared about leaving and going back into goblin territory. But when you explain that the way is clear, they nod. And like if you untie their ropes, they will scamper off immediately.
I'll just let them go. Okay. And like I untie them and I'm also untying the gnome.
And then like as they run, Meepo's like, tell them Meepo is brave and will return with Kalsrix. So the gnome is in an iron cage, so you're going to either need to break the rusted iron bars or pop the lock.
I will pop the lock. That's a 20. 25.
Child's play for you. Pops yeah. right open, you swing it out, and he almost like sort of tumbles out because it's been... Like, he hasn't been able to stand up in this thing at all. So his legs are a little weak. But he sort of shakily gets to his feet and says, thank you. I appreciate your help. I've been praying to Onatar for months now, and now finally my prayers have been answered. And so you would know Onatar is member of the Sovereign Host, god of fire and forge.
Ah, okay. Interesting for a gnome. I pull out a water skin and offer it to him.
He drinks thirstily, sighs, hands it back, and says, Morgrave, the college, huh?
You really know how to get off on the right foot, guy. What's your name?
I'm Erky Timbers, and he points at his holy symbol.
Of course you are.
Itinerant priest of Onatar. Months passed, I was on my way to seek my fortune, and I took the old road. But of course, it was my bad luck that the goblin bandits caught me. I've been here ever since. Onatar's blessings have kept me healthy, but otherwise I'm sure I'd be dead from starvation and abuse at the hands of the goblins.
They captured you from the road.
Indeed, I was surprised as well. I thought that there hadn't been goblin attacks in years.
Interesting. That is not something that I saw signs of when I traveled, nor did I hear warning of that from the town.
Well, perhaps you are a brave and strong adventurer, it seems.
Yes, well, I am a rogue archaeologist.
Yes, it will be interesting to see which of those is which of those you are best at. So far, I've seen rogue.
Anyway, this dragon. Do you have any idea where it is?
Ah, the dragon. Yes, a bugbear brought in the dragon not too long ago, but I have not seen it since. Although every once in a while, I hear a great commotion from what I can assume is several rooms away. It has been quiet lately. You, though, are not the first to come looking for the dragon. There were three humans just a few weeks ago.
Ah, yes. Those are the children I seek.
They didn't look like children, but I can never really tell with non-gnomes.
Adult children.
Ah, I see. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yes, they were captives with me in this very room for a while. Their names were, they said, Talgin, Sharwin, and Sir Brayford.
Those are the ones.
The goblins kept them in here only about a week before they removed them. Balak wanted them, which is, I assume, unfortunate for them.
Balak?
The man with the frog?
Yes.
I have never seen him. I assume he's some sort of spellcaster, though. A wicked, wicked man. And he has a frog familiar, perhaps? I don't know if it is necessarily a familiar, but it is a pet of some kind. He tends an enchanted garden and harvests fruit from something the goblins call the Gulthius tree down below. but they only speak of it in terrified whispers. An enchanted fruit grows on it, apparently.
And the goblins, they work for him, with him? They fear him?
This is interesting. You can see the condition of this tribe of goblins seems quite primitive, but, you know, as you know, often the goblins have a long history of artifice and skill with arms and armor, so it's a bit surprising to find them in this condition. I suspect they are terrified and perhaps indentured to Balak. Not that it excuses what they have done.
You know, if there's two things that I like in this world, it's liberating artifacts from their lost homes and helping the downtrodden. Do you suppose, Erky, that we could convince the goblins to rise against their oppressor?
That, I think, unfortunately, might be a problem. From what I can tell, this particular tribe was usurped by a hobgoblin only a few years ago. There seems to be some strife in the leadership. So I don't know. From what I can tell, the hobgoblin who runs the tribe right now is particularly cruel and seems to like having his small little fiefdom far away from Dargoon. But if you wish, I could join you. It does seem like my best hope to get out of here. I am a priest of some ability.
And I am a rogue archaeologist in frequent need of healing. And some might say soul saving. You're a priest of Onatar. Perhaps you could say a prayer to Aladra on my behalf once in a while, too.
Of course, they're siblings, of course. So, ding, 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 Erky Timbers joins the party. And I have already given you his sheet. He is another sidekick, a level 2 healer, which is a divine spellcaster. Couple things to know about him. He knows common, draconic, gnomish, and goblin, and he can turn undead once per short rest.
All right. There's a part of me that wants to finish this job, get this dragon, and go back. But Erky, you gotta understand, there's another part of me that wants you to use that, channel your ability, and open a door for me. And I'm struggling here. I'm really struggling here.
So he sort of perks up at this, and he says, oh, a mystery. Interesting. A mechanism that can only be opened by rebuking the dead? This is very interesting. Devised by an artificer, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. It was an inscription in Draconic. One time the inscription did what it said. The other time the inscription also did what it said, just more malevolently. I don't know what will happen when you rebuke undead in front of this doorway, but I assume it will either open or fill the room with undead.
Ah, yes, the designers of these, what you might call old school dungeons, were particularly malicious.
Indeed. I suppose that we should pursue the dragon while we're here and while we still have the advantage of surprise.
Well, I will follow your lead. Like I said, the goblins only come here every few days. Sometimes we hear them passing through on a way to raid the kobolds, but there was one fairly recently. I don't think there will be one soon. I would guess if you have dispatched the jailers that we have at least a few hours unmolested. If there is something that you think might help us in the remainder of your quest, we could tackle that, or I guess somehow go retrieve a dragon. Maybe you should put me back in the cage.
We're going to the door. You've talked me into it.
Before you leave, the only other thing that you notice in here that might be of value is there is at least one set of manacles that seem like they could still work.
Ah, interesting. On our way out, we're going to throw some more prisoners in cages. I'm the villain of this story, I'm realizing.
Of course you are. You're the villain of every story.
All right. Let's return to the dragon rebuke undead door.
All right. So that is the hallway where you've stashed the still currently unconscious goblins. You approach the door again, and the inscription again says, "Rebuke the dead, open the way," in Draconic. And close to the door, the air is noticeably cooler.
Erky, the door says in Draconic, "Rebuke the undead, open the way." I assume that means something to you as a holy person.
Yes, it's interesting. I've never quite seen something like this. So he like places his hands on the door itself and concentrates. However, AC 13 on Erky, who is currently has no gear.
That'll hit him.
That makes sense. Wow, that's not great. Okay, so when he touches the door from a previously completely hidden slit comes a huge scythe blade that just swings down and scores him across both arms. If he had been listening at the door, it may have taken his entire head off, and he takes 7 points of slashing damage.
I'll catch him when he falls.
Okay. Yeah. He looks down his hands. Oh, goodness. So you can see the blade has swung and then sort of like disappeared again, but you can see how the mechanism works now. So you're pretty sure that using your thieves tools, you would be able to either dismantle it or block it when it swings again.
Yeah, I would like to disable that trap.
Give me thieves tools. Oh, Erky has a ton of hit points, doesn't he?
He has 17 hit points. He's the most robust in this party. He has no armor class because he has no armor. 7 plus 5 is 12.
You're not going to be able to dismantle it, but you could use one of your pitons and spike that so that it'll hit that and get stuck.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just spike it.
So that takes about a minute. What do you want to do with Erky? He could bandage himself up and just kind of like grin and bear it. He could heal himself. He could drink a potion.
How are you feeling, Erky?
Strangely, it's a bit invigorating. I've been in that cage for months. I could pray, but I think I might save my prayers for now. But he does bandage himself up just to stop the bleeding.
I appreciate your go get 'em attitude. Let's get this loot. Let's go get this bread.
So he puts his hands on the walls again, and then he whispers a prayer to Onatar that rebukes those souls that have returned from Maybar when they should not have. And the door slides open. Inside, 5 dusty sarcophagi sit in alcoves, 3 to the north and 2 to the south. Each of the carved stone coffins resembles a noble, elf-like humanoid in ceremonial robes. An altar with images of dragons carved into black obsidian is set in the center of the west wall. A single candle burns brightly on the altar. Next to the candle are a small whistle and a crystal flask.
Ooh, an ever-burning... Oh, but this is Eberron. An ever-burning flame is just like... Whatever, man.
Right, you're not like, wow, that's amazing, but it's still sellable.
It's still cool.
So there are 5 sarcophagi and an altar.
Yeah, there's 5 undead and 3 of us. I turn to Erky and Meepo and I'm like, be very careful. Don't touch anything. It's probably all traps. And the sarcophagi are probably filled with angry skeletons.
Could be.
I mean, I'm going to thoroughly investigate this for traps or anything, any type of trigger or mechanism or anything. Like, I don't trust this room at all. There was a scythe to kill us on our way in. I just don't think this is going to go well for us.
All right, so give me perception or investigation.
That one was good. 13 plus 4, 17.
Which one are you using?
That was perception.
Give me an investigation as well.
No. I don't investigate. Meepo investigates. Like, I gotta stop doing my
shit. Oh, right, he has investigation, right?
Meepo, you look for traps. You're really good at that.
Okay, so you're looking around and Meepo's investigating.
He rolls a 20 plus 2, 22. Thank you, Meepo.
That's very good. You don't see anything else in here The sarcophagi are obviously, you know, are the work of an artisan. And at your direction, Meepo isn't taking anything off the altar. He's not like touching anything, but he is, you know, sort of like running his hands through like mortar on the walls and things like that to search for anything. And he does notice a latch, like it's a stone that he can press in, and out pops a small drawer. And inside you find 6 peridot jewels, each carved in the likeness of a dragon.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you right now, they're each worth 10 gold, so 60 gold.
Look at turning a profit already.
However, when he hits that and it pops open, you hear a grinding sound as the sarcophagi open and 5 skeletons emerge, 1 skeleton from each sarcophagi, as expected.
Bo, I told you not to touch anything.
So give me initiative.
Oh my god, I rolled a 20 and a 19 on the first two. So I think that puts me at 23, Meepo at 21, and Erky at, 15 plus, I think he's a 0, so 15.
That's great, because the skeletons are going on a 3. However, all of you are in the room, which means that each of you is adjacent to at least 1 skeleton right now. But all of you go first.
Erky is still a cleric.
However, he's used his turn undead,
right,
for the rest.
Yeah, it seems like that's a cruel trick of the fates. Okay, Tez kind of immediately springs into action, will like cunning action to disengage from the skeleton in front of him, and rushes over to Meepo. Skewer, and even as I say this, I know this is going to end poorly. Skewer with his rapier.
Okay.
Skewer this the skeleton that's in approached Meepo.
All right, roll an attack.
17 plus 5 is 22.
Easily hits.
8 plus 3 is 11 damage, and it's slab piercing.
So your rapier obviously like sort of goes through a lot of the bones. It does break some of the ribs though, and you feel like, you know, you've definitely destroyed a lot of it. You do get the sense that if you could crush it somehow, it would do a lot more damage.
Yeah, you don't say.
So you've done a bunch of damage to it, but it is still moving.
That's how it goes sometimes. I think that's Tez's turn.
And next is Meepo.
Meepo.
So he's adjacent, so his sling is going to be tough to use. Although he has pack tactics, so he'll be rolling flat.
Right, but he also carries a dagger and a spear. 2 piercing weapons, noticing a trend here.
Right, but the sling is bludgeoning.
Yeah, so the sling will be disadvantage.
Right, but then advantage.
Yeah, I think I'll net that out. So yeah, I'll roll the sling in close range.
At the one you hit?
Yeah, against the same one.
Okay.
So that's 13 plus 2. No, it's got to be more than that. 13 plus 4, 17.
Hits.
3 plus 2, 5 more damage, bludgeoning.
The sling bullet goes right through the skull and completely pulverizes it. The entire skeleton crumbles to the ground in a heap.
I fist bump Meepo.
He has no idea what's going on, but he gladly bumps back. So now he is not adjacent to anyone.
I just realized that Meepo has green flame blade and also has the armor. So at least for this fight, I think Meepo's gonna get some value out of his cantrips.
Cool. Okay.
Because that's magic damage.
So he repositions
to support Erky. Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Erky's turn.
Erky has a club, I believe.
Mm.
He also has Sacred Flame, which forces a dex save against radiant damage. So Erky will utter a prayer to, what's her name?
Onatar.
And radiant flames will spring forth onto the skeleton in front of him.
All right, 11 dex save.
That cannot possibly be successful, right?
It was Meepo casting it. Yeah, it should have his DC.
DC number. 12, yeah.
Hey, all right.
DC 12.
All right, roll damage.
All right, that's a D8, radiant, 6 radiant.
Radiant fire burns the bones, but they still remain standing.
Now we're outnumbered.
And now it's the skeletons. All right, so there's 4 of them. So we're going to start with the skeleton that Erky just attacked, and it'll attack Erky with a short sword. 21 AC is going to do it for 4 piercing damage.
Erky's looking about as weak as me and Meepo.
The 3 others. One goes up against Meepo. 15 AC on Meepo.
That hits.
4 more slashing damage.
Meepo cowers in pain.
Oh, wow. One of them walks up to you and swings wildly and totally misses.
Perfect.
But 2 others pull out short bows.
2 others?
Oh, no, you're right. It's just 1 other. Yeah.
Yeah, just 1 other, right?
16 AC.
Yeah.
That is 7 piercing damage from the short bow.
Oof. Don't love that.
All right, so 3 of them are in melee, and 1 is next to its sarcophagus. And you are adjacent to 1 of them now. And there's 1 that's been damaged over by Erky and Meepo.
So let's talk about crowbars.
Okay.
What is a crowbar if not a metal club?
I am okay with that.
Okay.
If you're going with a hand crossbow or greatsword, it'd be a little more difficult, but club, yeah, club is
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
But you're swinging this with strength.
Wait, yeah, actually, that's actually just worse.
Yeah, dex-based bludgeoning is tough to come by. It's really slings.
Boy. You know, I mean, I think this just has to be just like sheer violence is really my only approach here.
The violence of action.
So I will disengage and and go try to finish off the one that has been lit on fire.
Okay.
So I'll kind of duck and weave out of these stupid skeletons. The one thing I'm good at is getting away from them when they get close. So I will do that. And I will attempt to skewer this this wounded skeleton.
Great. You can run over and jump up on its sarcophagus and try to slice through it.
Yes, I will hop up on its sarcophagus, fencer style, and dance about. 17 plus 5, 22.
That hits.
And the damage is going to be 10. 10 more damage.
That's enough to take it out. Slice down through its bones.
Yeah, the thing about skeletons is they still have, like, a meaty target in the skull. You just got to get it in the right part.
It's hard to tell when exactly the bones are not going to be connected anymore because it doesn't really have ligaments, so I don't know what's going on, but...
Exactly. It's all made up.
All right, Meepo. There is 1 skeleton adjacent to Meepo.
Yeah, the timing on this could have been better.
Again, he could take a flat attack with the sling.
Yeah, we'll take the flat. We'll just take the straight roll with the sling. Our luck has run out.
5.
5 is not great. So yes, it goes wild.
Meepo's not long for this world. Who is the, who's the skeleton in front of us attacking?
The one adjacent to you attacked Meepo, but that he was also the closest one to it. Just sort of like walked up to the nearest person.
I mean, I was thinking maybe he could sanctuary Meepo, but I think that just redirects the attack and that's not necessarily super advantageous for us.
Right. If there's no one else, then it'll lose the attack.
Right.
But right now, we got a bunch of targets. Also remember that sidekicks don't just outright die. They also make death saves.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay. I think he just has the Sacred Flame, the one in front of him. Dex save.
6.
That fails. 7 damage.
7 is a good amount of damage, but it is still up. This initiative order is not great for Erky.
Mm-mm.
16 AC.
Yep.
With a short sword, it'll do 7 damage.
Erky collapses.
Oof, down to the ground. There are two more, both of them at a distance, and actually they are just going to shoot. 19 AC on you.
That hits.
For 4 damage.
Okay. Down to 3.
And then the next one will miss. 12 AC.
Yes, that misses.
Top of the round, 3 skeletons.
Desperately short on hit points right now.
And your healer is down.
And our healer is down. Things aren't looking good for our hero or his friends.
One is damaged, 2 are not damaged.
This is such a bad spot. There's no real cover in this room. I mean,
you could get cover from some of them by ducking behind a sarcophagi, but you're not going to be able to like hide from all of them. It is a small room. You could like run out of the room.
Right. But then I'm basically leaving Meepo. You know what? I mean, I think I'm actually engaged with this thing, and
you're engaged with the damaged one, yeah.
I'm engaged with the damaged one. Like, I think I've got to take an attack on it and see what happens. So I will attack with my rapier. 15 plus 5 is 20.
That'll hit. And you have sneak attack on it.
I don't know if this is enough. 5 plus 2 is 7 plus 3 is 10 total.
That'll do it with the radiant damage that it took previously, and it collapses to the ground. So there's 2 left, and also 2 of you.
And we have a path to the doorway?
Yes, they are on the inner part by the altar.
Meepo, I don't think we can win this. We gotta go.
You can also drag Erky at half speed.
Then I will use a cunning action to dash at full speed.
Okay, so you grab Erky and hightail it out of there.
Out the door. And then Meepo, I'll have follow, and I'll say, Meepo, cover the door if they follow with your sling.
So you want Meepo to also run out the door, duck sort of like around the corner, and then ready in action?
Ready in action to shoot the first skeleton that appears.
All right. Where do you go and where do you take her?
I'm trying to get out the door and in a direction where I'm basically trying to avoid line of sight, right? Like,
right.
I just don't want them to be able to get an angle to shoot an arrow on me as I try to maneuver here. And so I'm hoping that Meepo can hold the line.
With your cunning action, you can get up to 20 feet away from the door.
Is that enough to get around a corner or something like that? That'll give me some type of protection.
Yes.
Can I hide? Oh, can I just leap into the fountain? Is that deep enough to lay flat?
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not. It's not deep enough.
It's like a drinking fountain.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But no, there are plenty of alcoves, actually. Yeah, you can get around a corner.
Okay.
So like if you duck around that corner, you can like sort of see through the door into the altar room.
Yep, then I'll do that. And I'm thinking to myself, I should have grabbed that whistle. I should have blown that whistle.
All right, so you run out. Erky needs to make a death saving throw.
Erky does need to make a death saving throw, but Erky is made from stern stuff. And Erky rolls a 14.
Hey, 1 success. All right, so Meepo dashes out, readies in action, and then the skeletons you can hear begin ambling after you. So one makes it basically right to the door, and then Meepo can take his attack.
Does he have advantage for like surprising this thing or anything?
No, because he's not hidden.
You know what? Meepo is a hero. He crits.
Oh my god.
2d4.
What is
2d4.
That? 2d4 plus 2, yeah.
Yes. 3 and a 2 is 5, plus 2 is 7.
7?
Bludgeoning, yeah.
And the bludgeoning is doubled because they're vulnerable and it dies.
Meepo, you're a damn hero.
Amazing. Yeah, Meepo one shots a skeleton. and then the other one, which was further away, moves its full amount and closes in on Meepo and is now adjacent, but had to use all of its movement to get there and so can't take a swing.
Okay.
And it is your turn. You'll have sneak attack because Meepo's adjacent.
Yeah.
Or there's Erky.
Okay, I'm going to give Erky a potion.
Okay, so that's your action.
Yeah, so I'll give him a healing potion. So that's 2d4 plus 2. 5 plus 2 is 7.
Is it 7 on the ground and awake? Great for action economy because Meepo goes and then Erky goes.
Exactly.
all right, Meepo is adjacent to a skeleton.
He doesn't have any way.
Well, actually, you have a move.
I do.
And a cutting edge.
It seems so surprising that I would just walk up and heroically throw myself to give him pack tactics.
Maybe you're building a rapport. There's some camaraderie.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess Tez is going to limp out there. I mean, okay. So here's Tez's thinking. Mm-hmm. Is he's already thrown good money after bad by giving Erky the potion.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, like, you're in for a dime. He's a gambler. You're in for a dime. You're in for a dollar. He's going to limp back out there with his, like, wounded sword arm and his useless rapier. And he's just taking up space.
Which is all that Meepo needs.
Right, exactly. He's just there to give Meepo the opening for that sling at close range.
All right, Meepo makes an attack with no advantage or disadvantage.
12 plus 4 is 16.
That hits.
Oh, it's a 1. 1 plus 2. 3 sling damage.
So 6 sling damage, which isn't bad, but isn't enough to take it out. But Erky gets to go.
I got Erky up so that I could sanctuary Meepo and force this thing to lose an attack. Then I walked up into it. Oh, boy. All right. Well, Erky's going to start solving this problem with a sacred flame. So make a dex save, please.
That's an 18.
Okay. He's not going to solve this problem at all.
So the Mabaran energy enervating the skeleton shakes off the power of Erky's prayer. And then it goes and it takes a slash at Meepo. 14 AC?
Yeah, I...
7 damage.
Meepo falls.
But it's your turn. And you are adjacent.
This is actually anger now, I think. Mm. There's something about seeing this poor kobold dying on the floor that triggers something that Tez didn't know he had inside. There's a rage to this, and he's just going to all-out attack. So this will be a rapier and dagger.
Wow. All right.
So the rapier is a 9 plus 5 is 14.
That hits.
Okay. That's... 6 plus 3 damage is 9.
That's it. That'll do it. How do you destroy your sworn enemy?
Yeah. This thing just like took a huge swing at Meepo and put him in the dirt. And so his back was to Tez. And Tez just rams the tip of his rapier through like the base of the back of its skull and straight out the top. Probably needs to go sharpen this blade.
All the bones clatter in a pile and never move again. However, we are still in initiative order because Meepo is bleeding out. And it is Meepo's turn, so he makes a death save.
Come on, 19. He's so close to just getting back up and being a hero.
He's getting there. Erky's turn.
So, Erky is trained in medicine, so Erky will administer aid to him.
There we go. Give me a roll.
Jesus. 3 plus 2. 5.
That does not stabilize Meepo. He's working with... I don't have tools here.
Tez is not trained in medicine, but is lucky. So he's got a plus 2 from his wisdom. He's going to try to tend to Meepo as well. They're working together on this problem, you know?
Okay.
14 plus 2.
All right, so that stabilizes Meepo. That just stabilizes him at 0, though, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
So you could wait for Meepo to wake up, or you could rouse him with some healing.
Erky.
Erky got spells.
I think we...
I think we gotta take a break here, bud. Oh, this room was more dangerous than I thought it would be.
But remember, Meepo isn't gonna be able to spend a hit die unless he's conscious.
Is that true?
Yeah, you gotta have one hit point to spend a hit die. Does Erky have cure wounds?
He does. Okay, yeah, then Erky will heal him as well.
All right, so roll that one, and then I assume you want a short rest?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a 5, and then I think he adds 2 is his wisdom.
2 yeah, D4 so, plus wisdom, yeah.
So 7. So I believe that actually...
That's full, I think.
Full, yeah.
So. Amazing. Meepo bounces back. All right, so you short rest. Roll whoever's hit dice you want, and then I will let you know what is in that room.
So here's a cool thing about Erky, and for whatever reason the math works out this way, he has 5d6 hit dice.
And that is what it says in the adventure.
That's
is
right.
Is it silly? Yeah.
So he rolls a 5, and a 2 is 7. And he'll roll a 3rd is 4. That'll put him over his maximum. So he's back at full.
Okay.
Now, a funny thing about Tez is that he does not have many hit dice.
No.
But they are D8s, and he does have a +1 con. So he will... Oh, my God. He rolled an 8. Okay.
Hey.
All right. Back in the game. That's the thing about Tez is that he's always in the game.
All right. Speaking of the game... You're here for the stuff. So you already got the 60 gold worth of peridot jewels.
Yes.
On the altar, yes, the candle does have a continual flame. It's never going to go out. In the flask is a potion of fire resistance.
Ooh.
Which you ascertain pretty quickly during your short rest. And the whistle is made of crystal. And on it, inscribed in dwarvish, is the name Nightcaller. Give me an arcana or a history check.
It'll be history. I'm actually trained in both, but it'll be history. 12 plus 2, 14.
Okay. You've heard of whistles like this. A few of them pop up here and there. But you don't know exactly what it does. You probably would take it back to town.
Okay. I probably will blow it and see what happens. maybe not. Okay. So I have Nightcaller. I have a candle with continual flame. And then what was the third thing?
Potion of fire resistance.
Potion of fire resistance. Okay. Let me add that to my sheet. Thanks to D&D Beyond.
Oh my god, I'm running this whole thing on D&D Beyond, and it is way easier.
Fire resistance. Actually, I bet Nightcaller is in here too, isn't it?
Yes.
Just add it to my inventory. I won't look up what it does.
Yeah.
I don't know what
you'll
it
need
does,
to have someone identify it.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it'll still do what it does. I mean, you can take a look at it. But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Your curiosity satisfied, perhaps? What do you want to do now? Oh, so if you check on the goblins that you knocked out, you know they're only going to stay knocked out for a few hours.
Right.
They are still unconscious.
Okay.
Will that be one more hour? Will that be 3 more hours? You're not sure.
I mean, I don't want to give them like CTE to just blunt force trauma them back to like sleep here, but like this is where the cruelty is worse when you try to be a good person.
Now you're just torturing them.
Right, exactly. At what point is it less about them and more about me?
Right. Wait, are you going to crack them on the skull again?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. And I don't think there's a power play here rousing these goblins against the read from Erky is that they're pretty terrified of this hobgoblin, right?
Yes.
So it's probably like my only bet to get them is to kill the hobgoblin if I were to attempt a coup. And that just doesn't seem like a real... It seems like a pretty thin play for Tez here. So he's going to go for the underhanded, steal the stupid dragon back.
Sounds about right.
Which means he's headed back into the jailer's room to track down that dragon.
All right. So from this room, there's an entrance to the jail, and you've already liberated everything in there. And then there are two more doors, one to the north and one to the west.
Have I really searched this room? I mean, is there any...
Which one?
The room the jailers were in. I know I searched the holding room where we found Erky, but did I search this one?
No, you did not. So if you sort of root through the things, because they were camping out here, right? This is like a sentry position. You find stashed in a corner is a key that obviously opens the jail.
Okay.
And you find a silver flask of dwarven make. Inside is more of that vinegary wine, but you're pretty sure that this flask itself is probably worth about 50 gold.
Dang. These goblins are sitting on a gold mine.
They don't even know.
Cool. All right. Well, this expedition is getting back into the black, so that's good. We were running pretty red for a while there, but... okay. All right. Let me... does Erky know which door the dragon... like, which door leads towards the dragon?
He does not, because he doesn't know... really, beyond this point, he doesn't know. Although, actually, he points to one and says he's pretty sure that's a larder. And then to the door to the north, he says reinforcements usually come from there.
Okay. Well, then I'll check the larder first, I guess.
Okay. I won't make you roll because there's nobody in there. So inside, you can see the goblin store water, wine, and food, none of which is particularly good quality in here. It's stacked halfway to the ceiling. There are ill-made barrels, boxes, and crates. And there is a straight shot through to the other side. Another door that leads further to the west.
I need to start looking for signs that the dragon came through here. Is there, like, I imagine that the dragon probably put up something of a fight. Is there any evidence of like scratching or, you know, burns, like any, like I'm thinking maybe the door frames?
Not like, in here, not in this room.
Okay. What about the other door where the reinforcements come from? Is there any sign?
Yeah. So if you look in there, it is a long hallway, 10 feet wide. There is a door at the far end of it, but also halfway along the length of the hallway, there is another door. Erky's pretty sure that that door is where reinforcements come from. He's not sure about the door at the end of the hallway.
By looking at it, can I tell whether the door opens inward or outward?
The door opens inward, so into the room.
Okay, so I can't really bar it shut. I'm going to rig that bell. Just rig a little warning for myself. If that door opens, I want the bell to ring.
Okay, so in this case, you kind of are setting a trap.
Perfect.
So give me a survival.
Well, as you know, I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to work harder, and I'm going to roll a 12 plus 2 is 14.
All right, give me a stealth check.
This is what I'm actually good at, and I'll roll a 7 plus 7 is 14.
You're not, like, great at setting traps. A couple times the bell almost rings while you're trying to set it up, but you're pretty sure you get it, and then you're able to, you know, stifle the bell sound. You now have that door trapped, so if someone opens it, it's going to ring.
Okay, then we'll proceed down the end of the hallway.
All right, and here you can see already there are patches of frost on the doorframe.
Ah, yes, perfect. This is the evidence I was looking for, I say quietly to Erky and Meepo, so that they know that I am a qualified and competent rogue archaeologist.
And this door opens into the hallway.
Okay, I'll listen at this door again. Make sure look for traps.
Give me perception.
I gather these goblins are a bit paranoid, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me perception.
14 plus 4 is 18.
Okay, you don't see anything. And when you listen at the door, you hear what sounds like sort of a deep, heavy breathing.
All right, I will I'll motion to them to be quiet, and I'll pantomime, like, you know, a head on a pillow, and point inside the door. And then I will slowly open the door as quietly as I can. Try to peek my mirror inside.
This room is a wreck. So you can see it was originally a trophy room. There are mounted and stuffed animal heads on the walls. Some of the townspeople's cows. But then also things like, you know, a deer with, you know, small antlers. Or like even rats have been decapitated and had their heads mounted on the wall.
Jeez.
However, there are smashed and broken cabinets and small tables all around the periphery of the room. It obviously looks like someone has caused a great ruckus in here. In the center of the room is a rusted iron spike that trails a broken chain. There are thin patches of frost coating sections of the wall, the floor, and bits of the debris. And with that perception check, you can tell. So there's an upturned table on the north side of the room. And that breathing sound that you were hearing is coming from behind there, but you don't see anything from your current vantage point.
I will quietly creep into the room and motion towards the sling that Meepo has. And Erky, I will like kind of motion towards like magic fingers.
give me a stealth check.
Well, it's about as bad as I could do. A 1 plus 7 is 8.
Okay. So you try to creep into the room and Meepo and Erky are tiptoeing behind you, but you step on a piece of debris and from behind that upturned table comes the bright white snake-like neck of a small dragon.
I say in Draconic immediately, do you want to live?
The dragon starts laughing and says, you're a brazen one.
I can free you.
I've already done that myself. And it nods its head toward the broken chain.
And yet you're stuck here.
Stuck? I'm making a little lair. And you can actually see, like, now that you're sort of standing up, you can see a bit behind the table. And the dragon has already started accumulating, like, a baby horde. You know, it, like bits of like detritus, but you can see there are like some shiny things in there. I'm going to live here and rule it as my kingdom. It's much nicer than being in a tiny little cage. However, then it spots Meepo. And the dragon's hackles get up. What are you doing here?
Relax, 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 relax. Would you like some followers?
I plan to have all these goblins following me very soon, and then... Stares daggers at Meepo again. And then the kobolds, too. Treat me like a pet. And then the dragon inhales, not fully.
Yeah.
And then when she exhales, you can see there's like icy fog coming out of her nose. You're not sure if this is a threat, but she's little. Actually, go ahead and give me an arcana check.
I am trained in Arcana. I'm just not smart. 19 plus 2 is 21.
But you are lucky.
I am lucky.
So yeah, you would guess this is actually a wormling, like relatively newly hatched, not more than a few decades old. It's a white dragon, which, I mean, this is Eberron, right? So all dragons are different. But the stereotype is that they're more bestial and not quite as smart as most other dragons, but still, it's a freaking dragon in Corvair. That's kind of crazy. Where the heck did this dragon come from? The other thing you can tell is it's a female, but you're pretty sure that Meepo is referring to Calcrix, because you know this is Calcrix, right? As he, so you're also pretty sure that Meepo doesn't know much about dragons.
Calcrix.
And definitely, even a wormling has a breath weapon, a very deadly breath weapon.
Calcrix.
It looks right at you when you say its name. She says, huh, so you've heard of me, of course.
I'm curious how you came to be here in the first place. How did they get you in that cage?
Oh, the kobolds? It was a trick. It was a dirty, dirty trick.
Well, naturally, but how did they trick you?
There was meat. There was much delicious meat. Cows, they call it.
Mm. And where were you before they tricked you?
Flying around as I would. I don't remember too much.
Did you hatch in these lands? Or did you fly across the sea? How did you get here? There's very few dragons in Corvair. Most of them are on Zendrick.
Corvair, as if that's like a word that she's never heard before. I have come to make this my domain, but give me an insight check.
11 plus 2.
Okay. She's not really sure of the answer.
Okay.
Like she's not outright lying or making this up, but she's embellishing. I came here to make this my domain, and I was waylaid by the kobolds, the silly kobolds.
Do I get the impression from this that, like, she was just born here and doesn't know anything else?
That's a possibility.
But she probably wasn't raised... were you raised by your parents? Did your mother, like, hatch you?
Of course I was hatched. I was hatched by a great sire who is now on her own. I defeated her. I defeated her, and now I am building my own horde and gathering my own followers, and you shall be the first of my followers, yes.
We'll talk about that. I'm very curious. Kelstrix, I don't know if you... Well, I don't know if you've heard of Morgrave University, but it's one of the finest institutions of knowledge and learning in all of the land. In fact,
the dragon says, "Oh, the college."
it's a truly grand institution, a place where perhaps you know you could find followers or knowledge or. You know, share great gifts, you know, enrich yourself and the world. Would you be interested? Could you become a professor? I'm lying through my teeth.
Kalstrix doesn't seem to know what you're talking about or be particularly interested. In fact, she starts to be getting a little bored and starting to move. Like, she was reclining, and now she's sort of gotten up to her haunches and isn't looking at you anymore. She's eyeing Meepo. And the completely unarmored gnome. I have not eaten in a while. Goblin does not taste very good.
Unfortunately, you won't be able to eat my companions. It would be a little rude, you know?
Rudeness is coming to my domain without proper tribute. What have you brought me?
I start looking through my bag for shiny baubles.
Mm-hmm. You have 6 peridot gems. You got a dwarven flask.
Yeah. I don't really want to part with anything like that. And I need to get her out of here, right?
That is the task for the kobolds.
I think what I need to do is get close to her and I mean, frankly, attack her. Like, I think I just have to, like, overcome her.
So wait, what's your goal here to do with her? Because, like, she is... Actually, no, she's only medium size, so you could drag her out of here if you could somehow knock her unconscious.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I have to do, right? Because I need to... Like, I need the kobold's help. This dragon is obviously, like, a greedy, like... It's just going to oppress them anyway. So, like, I don't want that to happen. And frankly, she's not very nice and I don't like her. So I don't have... And like, dragons are... Like, dragons are sapient, mm-hmm. right? But they're also, like, incredibly, like, avaricious and, frankly, like, don't really care about us.
That's certainly right? What you've heard.
Like, and her disregard for us and for propriety makes me not care about her either. And so I don't have any qualms, even if I just kill her, honestly, though I want to keep her alive for the kobolds. And also I know, like, she'll eventually just outgrow this and, like, they're screwed anyway.
It does occur to you that, you know, they keep her as a pet long enough. Eventually she, like, there's no way they can keep her contained
long term.
So this is a mere speed bump for this dragon. This isn't like this isn't dooming her for her whole life, right? So I'm viewing her as a tool, and that just means she needs to be overcome. And so I'm just trying to maneuver ourselves into a place, kind of separate corners of the room, I suppose, where I will approach her hoard in which to donate, make my donation to her hoard.
Okay, so by separate corners, you mean you're splitting up the party so they're not grouped together?
So they're not in breath weapon range.
Yes, okay, wise. Wise indeed. All right, so each Erky and Meepo go to separate corners. Meepo goes to the far corner. And then, so you take out the baubles first.
I will, yes.
Okay, and then I will slowly begin approaching.
Exactly.
Okay. Give me persuasion, deception, one of those.
Persuasion. I feel okay. So what I would like to do, I mean, honestly, what I would like to do is like make her like lull her into enough sense of safety here and like that I can actually like surprise her and get sneak attack. So can I use deception in order to do that?
That's going to be tough.
That's fine. I'm willing to deal with the consequences.
If you can get close enough, right? Because she's on the other side of this table.
I want her to count the, like, I want her to, like, feel, like, the gems, right? Like, I want her to feel the gold and the silver flask and stuff in her hands, right? Like, I want her fascinated with the shininess. Like, that's kind of what I'm trying to get here. 13 plus 7, 20.
20 is good. Okay, so you approach, you know, basically, like, with your head down, showing contrition and, like, offering these shiny baubles, and she seems to like them very much. This lets you get close enough, and she sort of indicates that you should, like, display them before her so that she can examine them.
I insist that you feel this fine silver flask. Note its craftsmanship. This is dwarven craftsmanship. Feel this in your... Let your claws just feel the etching in this flask.
So if you lay them out for her, arrayed for her, then she will take a claw and sort of tap the flask. And you can see she's still uncautious. So her claw sort of like scratches the silver. That doesn't seem to bother her, but...
I groan.
It's almost like she has a preternatural sense. Like she taps it and it rings, and she's like nods her head a little bit like, ah, this is real. You are close enough now where I will let you do this. So if you want to attack her and get sneak attack, you can use your cunning action to duck behind the big wooden table that's overturned.
Mm-hmm.
That'll let you hide, and then when you spring back, you'll be attacking from hidden. If you do that all at once, but then that's going to throw everything into chaos.
While she's kind of inspecting the tribute, I'll kind of give a look to Erky and give a nod to Meepo. And then duck behind the overturned table.
All right. Spring out and make your attack, and then we're going to go to initiative order.
All right. Ah, boy. Rapier's out, boys. So that's advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm hitting. I needed it. That's a 10 plus 5, 15.
Ugh.
Seriously?
Yeah, it glances off her scales.
Oh, God. Oh. Am I not level 3 yet?
And we're going to find out what horrible things happen next time.
All right, let's talk about how our listeners can get in contact with us.
We do love hearing from you.
You can tweet at Shane at Mundangerous. That's M-U-N dangerous.
And you can tweet at Ishan at Evil Sans Carne. That's malice minus meat.
And you can tweet at the show at TPTcast.
You can also email us at TotalPartyThrill@gmail.com.
And you can find us on the web at www.TotalPartyThrill.com.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram at TotalPartyThrill.
And join the conversation on Discord. There's a link in the show notes. And before we wrap up, we want to take a moment and thank our Patreon supporters.
Your support is what makes it possible for us to keep doing this show every single week. So if you'd like to learn more, you can check out all our rewards at patreon.com/totalpartythrill.
And what do we have planned for next week's episode?
We are rounding out, heading toward the end of Sunless Citadel. So be there and let's see what happens. Is this one breath weapon and down?
We play to find out. That's it for Actual Play Episode 6 of Total Party Thrill. I hope we lived up to our name, but either way, I'm Shane.
And I'm Ishan. Thanks for listening.